Good evening and welcome to In the Trenches with head coach of the Bearcat football team, Rich White. We are broadcasting outside again today at the patio here at A&G in downtown Maryville. And Rich, I think as long as we can do it, we'll be out here. It's another nice day here.
Heck yeah. You know, when you're a football coach, you're used to being outside. So this is fine for me.
And coming off a good win over Missouri Western this past week. And I think talk to you after the game on that game as well. Just a gutsy win for your team where you just found kind of willed your way to a victory in that one.
Yeah, you know, obviously, we're pretty banged up on offense. We knew we were going to play conservatively and try and win with our defense and our special teams, and we're able to execute that. Obviously wanted to have some more success than what we did in the first half offensively, but we were able to come out in the second half and find some answers, get a couple plays, put together some scoring drives, and then you know, the biggest part was just keeping them out of the end zone.
I think one of the biggest plays in that third quarter in particular just was the kickoff return. Jaden Brady had to get him out to the 43-yard return out there, set you up in pretty good field position. Then he took advantage of it and never looked back.
He really set the table for us, because that's what we were talking about in the locker room at half, was just relaxing in each play, kind of everybody just executing what they needed to do. You know, it was my job to try and calm them down. You know, just we hadn't played well. We were out of sorts. We were out of rhythm. And, you know, could we make a play on special teams? And JB comes out and, you know, flips the field right away. We have the ball on the 40-something yard line. And, you know, a couple plays later, Rob Rowery's in the end zone. And we really never kind of looked back.
You know, I think that's a game that you just feel good of, just about the effort you got from the guys. And just, as we mentioned, knowing that you had some injuries and things, that they just kind of stepped up and overcame some obstacles in that game that they can build on.
Yeah, definitely. You know, again, you know, we're not at full strength, but, you know, with each game, with a young football team, we're gaining more experience. You know, some of the backups that are having to play, that's invaluable, particularly when you can find a way to win. I think that's important. And, you know, we just hopefully we're starting to trend back towards healthy and can make a stretch run here, because we're going to have to play well in the last six games. And it starts this week against Pitt State.
And that was a good win against a very good Missouri Western team, too. I think don't want to forget that, too, that they were a team that's had some success coming in.
Yeah, and, you know, they're better than probably their record indicates. You know, I watched the Emporia game and not sure how that transpired quite the way that it did, because I felt that they were a better football team. Had a tough one against Washburn that was really a battle back and forth to the very end. And then, you know, we were able to come away with a victory, you know, last weekend at home.
What have you learned about this team at this point in the season?
You know, lots of things. Learn every day, as a matter of fact. But, you know, just their grit and their will. You know, they're starting to create their own identity. They really didn't have one to begin the season, just because we were so young. You know, they're learning what it takes to win in the MIAA week in and week out, and having to show up. You know, we're gaining invaluable experience that I think is going to bode well for us. You know, it's funny. We went on Monday's meeting. I was talking to the team, and I'm looking around the room, and I said, gosh, how many of you guys have played at Pitt State? And I saw a couple hands go up, and so I said, go ahead and stand up. We had four guys that have ever been to Pittsburgh, Kansas. And I just that speaks volumes about, you know, the transformation that we've had. You know, I tried to tell everybody at the beginning of the season that this one was going to be a little bit different. When you lose 17 super seniors and you have a class only five seniors, you know, there's a transition there. And you know, so we're just kind of learning as we go, learning each other. They're gaining an understanding of what it takes to be successful. And, you know, we're sitting here 4-1 after 5 weeks. So let's see what we can do with the second half.
Again, we're broadcasting live from A&G Restaurant in downtown Maryville and In the Trenches. And when we come back, we'll be joined by offensive line coach Mike Cunningham. He'll join us, and we'll talk about the offensive line and much more for you coming up right after this timeout from A&G Restaurant in downtown Maryville.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sure Ag LLC, with locations in Forest City, Savannah, and Osborne. Paxton, Randy, Rich, and the Sure Ag team provide the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies. More info on products and service at 660-446-3376.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from the United States Air Force, offering more than 130 career choices, education, benefits, and more. Full-time opportunities are available now. For more information, Technical Sergeant Katrina Smith can be reached at 816-341-8227 or airforce.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from United Country Property Solutions, LLC, welcoming Phil and Amy Schreck to the Maryville team. United Country Property Solutions specializes in selling land and country homes serving Missouri and Kansas. Brokers Bob Carlson and Dan McChristie.
Support for KXCV KRNW is provided by the Northwest Foundation, providing support for the Northwest Alumni Association and the university's funding needs since 1971. More information is available on Facebook or online at nwmissouri.edu/alumni.
Today's broadcast is underwritten by A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G offers more than 100 menu items, Greek night every Friday, banquet rooms, and more. For additional information, agrestaurant.com.
Hey, and welcome back to A&G Restaurant in downtown Maryville as we are broadcasting live from A&G within the trenches with head coach of the Bearcats, Rich Wright. And we're joined now by offensive line coach Mike Cunning. And Mike, good to have you with us here on the show tonight.
Thanks, John.
And Mike, let's just talk a little bit about a point that we made a little bit earlier with Rich about just the gutsiness of the team, and in particular that offensive line. You had a couple guys that even, I know you've had some injuries here the last couple weeks, and you had a couple guys that probably under normal circumstances you would have liked to have rested the last week against Missouri Western. They came out and gave you a heck of an effort.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, the first half wasn't pretty on the offensive side of the football, but I mentioned this to Coach on Saturday. I was in the locker room, and his speech at halftime kind of put people at, kind of just made everybody refocus back. And then obviously we came out and started the second half with JB's big run or big kickoff return, then Rob's run kind of calmed everybody's nerves. We're fairly young up front, and that, you know, the kids want to do well, they want to succeed. In the first half we weren't seeing that, so that kind of helped us build on it to go into that second half.
Yeah, you talk about being fairly young, and that's even with the starters out there. You got some guys stepping up this year, seeing their first really extended playing time along that offensive line, of course anchored by Mitch Goff there at center. But when you lose a couple guys that are still relatively young, you're backing them up with maybe some guys even a little bit younger than that.
Yeah, well, that's why Mitch isn't here tonight, because he had to go eat. You know, these big kids like to go eat, I guess. I mean, it's every week's a week in progress. And I told the guys today, I said, you're not young anymore. This is game six we're going into. I mean, we have experience. Now it's time to put it all together. And I think a big thing is just getting some continuity amongst everybody. You know, we had a couple different lineup shifts, and to have the communication side of it and to get everybody on knows on the same page will be huge, and that's our goal for this week.
I think early on, before the injury bug kind of hit you there, one thing you'd have to feel good about, just the way you were protecting the quarterback up to the point, I think at one time, maybe one or two sacks overall on the season going into that.
Well, part of it is, too, they got two athletic quarterbacks back here. No, the kids have done a good job with that. I mean, you know, that's one of our goals every week, is to keep the quarterback clean. And if we can do that, like I said, we got two talented quarterbacks, and they make us look better than we probably are.
Now, looking at your resume, Mike, you've got a very extensive resume coming to Northwest. And might talk this with Richard bringing in too. But what are some of the things that when you saw that an opening at Northwest that this looked like would be a place that you might have come?
A number one's the people. I mean, Coach Wright recruited me 20-some years ago. I told him no then. Thought I was a Division I kid, and I went down to New Mexico State. And then when he called me in 17, we've been friends ever since then. And when he called and said, we want you to be a Bearcat, I didn't even hesitate. I didn't even tell my wife. I was upstairs in bed when he called, and I walked downstairs and told my wife. I said, well, we're moving to Missouri. So,
how'd she take that?
She was ready. I think she was sick of the cold up north.
Yeah, you know, it's funny how life works. You know, I can remember I was a graduate assistant here at Northwest, and they sent me out on the road, and one of the places they had me stop was Milford, Nebraska, and there were three kids at the time, and I didn't get any one of the three, so I guess I was a lousy recruiter that year. But one kid went to the University of Nebraska, Mike went to New Mexico State, and you know, the third kid went to UNO. And, you know, we just, like he said, we've just kept in touch. He got into the coaching profession, and I'd see him a couple times a year. We played against him when he was the offensive line coach up at Mankato State and in the playoffs. And, you know, we've always had a good relationship. And, you know, I just felt like he fit our culture and fit what I was looking for. So we were fortunate to bring him down to Maryville.
You know, I think that goes to a point that with a lot of different professions, too, about keeping contacts and kind of even though football, it seems like it's a big world out there, but it really from the standpoint of keeping contact and coaching and things, it can be a small world at times if you keep in touch with everybody there.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And, you know, there's so much that goes into hiring a football coach that I don't think people really understand. And, you know, you have to have a relationship with those guys, and it's got to be somebody that you trust, because ultimately, if you look at it, I'm a defensive guy. I mean, that's what I am. Just like, you know, when I worked with Adam didn't know a whole heck of a lot about defense, but he needed somebody he trusted. And, you know, you're really literally bringing somebody into your family. I spend more time with my staff, and, you know, this isn't an exaggeration. I spend more time with my staff than I do my own family. And so there's got to be a camaraderie. There's got to be people that you like working with. There's got to be people that you believe in. And Mike was one of those guys.
Mike, I know looking at your resume as well, one of the stops you made one time was at Nebraska. Imagine coming from Milford, Nebraska, having an opportunity to be on a staff there for even the brief time you were. It had to mean a lot to you.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I was the low man on the totem pole. I was making copies and stuff like that, but I got to sit in and you know, watch football and learn, and that was a big part of my career. Just to take a step back and refresh after being in the mix, and then being a guy that was technically an off the field guy, but just to see how other people do things, because you kind of get in your own rhythm over the years, and then to take a step back and reflect on it was beneficial for my career.
And anything you took out of that since that point that you could bring out then?
Yeah, I mean, just different ways. I mean, football changes every year. I mean, just there's different ways to do things. And, you know, I was stuck as what I was taught as a graduate assistant back in the early 2000s, then to come back and learn some different stuff, I thought that was very beneficial for me.
Spent a lot of time as well at Minnesota State, Mankato, and that used to be a stop that we were on, seemed like for a while when we had that home-and-home contract for a number of years, back when non-conference was a part of things, where you had a couple non-conference games you tried to find, and that always seemed to be a good matchup between Northwest and Mankato.
Yeah, I was not there for the overtime power outage game. I got there after that. I think that was 06 or 05 or something like that, but I'll never forget, I was telling the coach at the time, when we found out we were playing Northwest night after Thanksgiving, I go, we're going to get killed. I mean, like, we ain't going to win this game. We ain't that good. But then, you know, like Coach Wright will probably attest, I'm usually the glass is half empty. But yeah, it was a good 7 years there, and that's the longest place I've been, and Northwest is the second longest place I've been in my career.
You know, the one thing I can tell you about that was that game in 05, my defensive line was wore out, so I was actually the one that flipped the power switch off. I needed a little break to let Dave Tollefson and company recuperate a little bit.
You know, most of the times when we would go up there and play, it would be like the first or second week of the year where it's still relatively warm up there. Now, then when we went back there for a playoff matchup, the thing that I don't understand is, especially from this is a, kind of a selfish part on my part, but it's not like it's a secret that it gets cold up there in November. Why they don't have the press box heated is something I don't understand.
Because they want to put you in the same elements we're in. We would like you to experience the same things.
You're just lucky, John, the whole thing didn't fall over. I can tell you that much.
You know, I couldn't believe that, you know, a couple games this year that we've played in, you know, Mike, it's kind of ironic. You know, I'm drenched. My hat's drenched. You know, I walk upstairs to do the radio and temperature controlled, air conditioned. They're drinking a cold drink.
Yeah. Well, we do get a little spoiled up there at times.
No,
especially at home, although sometimes during the late winter, I like to have the windows open, and some of the guests that come in there, I think they're getting out of the elements just a little bit, and they step in and find out it's still a little cold where we're at. But we do have a heater down below, so yeah. That helps out.
No heaters on the sideline.
No. No, not at all. Again, Mike, when you look at, you talked a little bit earlier about how the game of football constantly changes. From a standpoint of what you try to teach on the offensive line, how have some things changed through the years?
I mean, there's, you know, just different ways to do technique. You know, back when I learned it, it was back the more the old school. Now, just different stuff that they're teaching that 20 years ago I would have been like, whoa, you know. Just different things to get on the defense quicker, different ways to work things off. And, you know, Coach Wright, at least, I'm fortunate he lets me go to clinics and never bats an eye on that. So I get to go to the Fat Coaches Convention in Cincinnati and learn some from some of them type of people. So it's changing. I mean, it's no different than every year. Your personnel changes. I mean, just to different ways to make us better. That's the big thing.
I got a question for you. What's been, and I haven't asked, so can I fire one?
Absolutely.
What's been your biggest challenge starting four new guys up front from a year ago?
The continuity. Having the guys that know how to adjust when it's not the same what you practice. You know, like with the two kids last year, I mean, they would just process it because they've been in the fray. Well, we've had a lot of kids that, you know, but just to be able to adjust is the big thing. And then it comes down, like Coach said the other day, it's the communication side of it. Over communicate, and you know, when kids are timid, they're not going to talk, and that's when the big harp this week is to do the communication side of it. Hopefully it's been a good week of practice, and we're going in for a heck of a ball game on Saturday. And like I told him tonight, I said, just go in and fight. That's all I ask. Just go fight your tail off. And we'll see.
Yeah, and this might be a question, too, just for overall for the type of kids you recruit. But when you look at the offensive line, how has the type of kid that comes in as an offensive lineman now changed from in the past? It just seems to me like you see more athletic type of guys playing on that offensive line.
Yeah, I mean, it's – yeah, I mean, you need athleticism on what type of offense you run. I mean, that's, you know, you need guys that can move and guys that can fly around and be able to be physical. And that's, at the end of the day, that's the biggest thing, and be tough kids. And, you know, we're trending in that direction, I believe, to be able to be physical and fight. That's the big thing. Because it's been a little bit hard for some of them guys because they're so new, you know. It's the confidence side of it. And I tell them every day, I said, if you make a mistake, do it 150 miles an hour. I can live with that. So don't be timid.
You know, the one thing we have to do, too, from a recruiting standpoint, is we're built, you know, the way that we're constructed, we're a developmental program. We don't take a lot of transfer kids. You know, if you look down, up and down our offensive line, we have one transfer, and that's Theobald. And he's an upperclassman. And has the size and the mass and the strength. But when you're playing with younger kids, you know, that time in the weight room, that time growing their bodies, that time, you know, just evolving, you know, we're not accustomed to playing with redshirt freshmen. We're not accustomed to playing with, you know, younger guys. And so there's been a learning curve in there, too.
And do you kind of have to project how you think this particular player might develop physically as well when you recruit them?
Absolutely. I mean, you're always doing that. Is that, and there's some specificity to it within the offensive line. I mean, you need a certain body type to be able to play tackle that's different than when you're an inside player. The inside three, you know, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but the inside three are more interchangeable. Obviously, you got to have a guy that can snap, but, you know, a lot of times kids are multifaceted with that, but the tackle position is the more difficult one in the recruiting process.
It seems to me, just watching from afar, that you're recruiting guys that are a little bit taller now than perhaps maybe 20 years ago or so to play on that offensive line.
No doubt about it.
I mean, his guys are longer. I mean, we need to match that. And back 15 years ago, you could get by with a 6'2" tackle. But now the length is a huge thing, and you need to have the longer levers out on the edge. I mean, that's what we're going to see every week.
Yeah, you know, the one funny thing, though, is I don't have long guys
this year. Exactly, but yeah.
Elijah Green, I wouldn't consider long.
No, but I think they've made up for it in other ways out there this year.
Yeah, he's been extremely productive. That kid is, man, he's really blossomed into a heck of a defensive end, and he's done it with his hard work and his commitment. So, you know, he was a kid we had on one of the shows earlier, and it's just, it's fun to watch. It's when they find, probably the most self-satisfying thing as a coach, you know, it's not winning and losing. It's watching those kids when they finally get it and they start to play at an elite level, and it's just, it's fun.
You know, you talked briefly at the start of the show about Mitch Goff, and what does he bring at that center position? He's a guy that just, you look at the games he's played, I mean, it just, he doesn't miss games. Just game after game, he's out there, and it seems like he gives a heck of an energy boost to that offensive line as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's, number one, he's the leader of our group. I mean, he knows everything. He knows all five positions. He's communicating the front. He's doing everything, and he's going to play his tail off. I mean, Mitch has started every game in his career here. So, but like I said, he spends more time in my office than I think I do during the day. I mean, I kicked him out of my chair today. I mean, he's a tremendous student. He wants to do well. He, like I said, he knows everything. And he'll fight. So.
Yeah, and then we talked about this on the broadcast Saturday. There was one point, I think it was a fumble recovery that Northwest had at one point. Mitch is on the sideline giving the first down for Northwest.
Yeah, sometimes I need to calm him down a little bit.
So. Now wait. So I don't know. I didn't pick up on this. I didn't know this was a thing until I went up to the broadcast to do the post game, Mike, and found out that Matt Tritton had been telling him that he wanted him to grow a mullet. Is, you know, and Mitch isn't willing. I don't know if it's a girlfriend thing or what.
Yeah,
it is
100% on that, coach.
I think Matt kind of has an unhealthy obsession about having Mitch grow that mullet. Kind of goes back to, I guess, media day where he's kidding him about that, but he's not letting this rest until Mitch does it, I think.
Maybe he can put a wig on. I don't know.
Again, we are broadcasting live from A&G Restaurant in downtown Maryville and in the trenches. And when we come back, we'll talk more with Mike Cunningham along with Rich Wright after this timeout.
Support for the Bearcats comes from Sure Ag LLC with locations in Forest City, Savannah, and Osborne. Paxton, Randy, Rich, and the Sure Ag team provide the region with fertilizer, chemicals, and other farm supplies. More info on products and service at 660-446-3376.
Today's broadcast is being underwritten by Tri-State Ford Lincoln on South Main in Maryville, providing a wide selection of new and used cars, trucks, and SUVs to customers across the Midwest, along with a service department and vehicle detailing on site. More information at tristatefordmaryville.com.
Support for today's Bearcat broadcast comes from Northwest Cell, serving the region for over 30 years. Along with nationwide coverage, Northwest Cell offers a wide selection of features, including unlimited plans. For more details on plans and devices, nwmcell.com.
Today's broadcast is brought to you by local internet provider United Fiber, providing a variety of fiber-fast internet plans for residents and businesses with speeds up to 1 gig. More information is available online at unitedfiber.com.
Support for the Bearcats comes from United Country Property Solutions, LLC, welcoming Phil and Amy Schreck to the Maryville team. United Country Property Solutions specializes in selling land and country homes serving Missouri and Kansas. Brokers Bob Carlson and Dan McChristie.
Today's broadcast is underwritten by A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G offers more than 100 menu items, Greek night every Friday, banquet rooms, and more. For additional information, agrestaurant.com.
And welcome back to A&G Restaurant in Maryville on In the Trenches with head coach of the Bearcats, Rich Wright. And our guest this week is offensive line coach Mike Cunningham. And Rich, earlier in the show, you talked about going down to Pittsburgh State and playing there with a lot of guys not experiencing playing down there. Of course, through the years, that game has been traditionally been at Arrowhead Stadium for a long time, and then we've had a few on campus intermixed with that. But there is, I know, going to Arrowhead is something that is far more beneficial, but there's something going down and playing in an atmosphere such as what's going to be what they call the jungle down there on Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, I've been here a long time. I played down there in 1995 and as a GA, and then kind of throughout the years we had some pretty great battles with Pittsburgh State down in the jungle. And you know, the fun thing is it's Maryville South, kind of. It's you know, there's obviously a high interest in their program and what they're doing. It's a smaller town, kind of like ours. You know, it's fully backing of Pitt State. And, you know, those are, as a college football player, honestly, those are the venues that you want to go play in. You want to play in where there's a loud crowd and everybody's engaged and feed off the emotion. It won't be for us, obviously, but, you know, it's just it's a fun environment to play in. Hopefully we've got a good number of Bearcat fans going down to the game. I heard early in the week the game was going to be a sellout, and it is. Can't get tickets anymore, evidently. So should be a packed house and a great atmosphere to play college football.
And there have been some great battles down there. I think the one, obviously, 96 was the year that kind of really had the big going out party for Northwest as far as their coming out party for making the playoffs and the big win up at UNO. But 97, to be able to go down and defeat Pittsburgh State on their home turf, seemed to be another one of those markers that really told people around the nation that Northwest was for real.
Yeah, no doubt. Up until that time, I remember when it got here in 95, and Pitt ran, the conference ran through Pittsburgh State, and it's just the way that it was. And, you know, I was here in 95 and 96. I left, got a full-time job, but obviously kept really close tabs on those guys and Coach T and all that stuff. And, you know, for them to go down there and figure out a way to win that game in the rain and the slop, you know, really did indicate that the program had arrived. And since that time, we've had been fortunate enough to have a tremendous amount of success against Pittsburgh State over the years. And hopefully we can continue that.
You look at the way the conference was shaped up at that particular point. Now you compare it to now. There's not only is Pittsburgh State one of the teams that you have to mark on the calendar to beat, but a lot of teams have kind of modeled what Pitt did and modeled what Northwest did and kind of picked up their programs as well in the conference.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. It's a totally different conference. And when you try to describe that to people, I mean, just look around at some of the facilities around the MIAA. You know, when Pitt was doing their thing, they were kind of the, you know, the king. And, you know, Northwest started to ramp up, and we had some success as a program, and the facilities started to come along. But, I mean, you go to Western, you go to Washburn, you go to Hayes, you go to, you know, Nebraska Kearney. There's a lot more depth in the conference than there was, you know, when this whole thing started.
And Mike, when Rich talked about the noise level down there when you go into hostile territory such as this, what kind of I guess issues does that bring to an offensive line or an offense overall to make sure you get the snap count right and a lot of different things when you're going into a place that you know is going to be loud?
Well, the first thing is you got to stay ahead of the chains on first and second downs. Don't get them in third and long. That's the biggest thing. I mean, we've emphasized the communication, snap count, everything like that. It could be a play a factor, but I mean, I think the kids are ready for it. I don't care if I listen to the Welcome to the Jungle again.
Have you guys not heard that all over town?
I have heard something about that.
Yeah,
yes.
It was usually going for about an hour every day.
Yeah.
Everybody was really excited about it.
So I had a couple kids say, I hate that song. And so that's good. And it'll be fun. It's going to be a great environment to play a college football game. So I think the kids are excited for it.
I can tell you, I mean, we do this when we play in Arrowhead Stadium, too, is just getting the kids used to the volume. And we make it worse than what it could be in whatever venue we're in. We make it more difficult to communicate. And we did a good job with it all week, so hopefully that'll resonate through on Saturday. We'll see.
What are some of the things that you notice when you look at this matchup coming up Saturday?
Oh, there's a lot of things I notice. I think they're athletic on the defensive side. They're not particularly big, but they run well. They're very athletic. They're going to play multiple fronts. A little more cover three base than what we saw a year ago out of them. You know, they had the kid that got drafted by the Indianapolis Colts and made the roster, but still talented, and they will man up. They get in and out of fronts. They're moving around quite a bit, so that's going to be the challenge for us up front, and the quarterbacks as well, IDing different things and getting us checked into the right stuff. Defensively, their skill's good. You know, they're really big up front. This will be the biggest team up front we play. I think they have three guys on the offensive line that are over 350 pounds. So they're a big offensive line. But they've got good skill guys. They've got a matchup problem. Number 88 is 6'6", transfer from Iowa Western. That's a really good football player. We're gonna have to take care of him coming across the middle in particular. But they got one. They've got 17. You know, those are both two good receivers. 6 is a heck of a tailback. So you know, we just have to play well.
And I know when people see the schedule come out every year, not only the MIAA where they kind of check this one as a game to watch for, but really around Division II, a lot of people take a look at what goes on every year when these two teams get together.
Yeah, no doubt, because the stakes are always pretty high. You know, historically, you know, when Northwest plays Pitt, you know, they're pretty high stakes. And like you said, I mean, there were a couple of years in 05 and 06 when we're playing them at the end of the season, and usually it was for the conference championship and who was going to the playoffs and who was going to make a run. And, you know, so it's a fun game when both teams are good, and, you know, looking forward to the challenge.
All right, sounds good. Rich, Mike, good to have you on the show here today.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, John.
Again, that's Mike Cunningham, offensive line coach for the Bearcats, along with head football coach Rich Wright. A reminder that today's broadcast is underwritten by A&G Restaurant at 208 North Main in Maryville. A&G offers more than 100 menu items, Greek night every Friday, banquet rooms, and more. For additional information, a-gmrestaurant.com. We'll have the broadcast coming up Saturday. It's a 2 o'clock kickoff. We'll be on there at 1 o'clock with Bearcat Game Day from Pittsburgh, Kansas. For Rich and Mike, I'm John Coffey, and so long for In the Trenches.